He did not come to condemn you, but he came to save you. He came to show you a better way and to bring you back to the Father. He came to show you how much he loves you. Oh, the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you. Let him lead, guide, and direct you. Let his love envelop you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, Christmas is a time of miracles. And I know it's a miracle because this will be the shortest message I've ever preached for the year. So, amen. I believe in miracles. Well, I'm going to give you the last two components. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights called Catching the Spirit of Christmas. And what that means, it's when the attitude of heaven invades earth. And we've been talking about a lot of things about catching the spirit of Christmas. I want you to catch the spirit tonight. Amen? God wants you to hear and to know what the Spirit is doing in this hour. Here are the things that consist of the spirit of Christmas. There were angelic visitations and divine messages. There was a declaring of the name of Jesus. You'll find this throughout all the Christmas story. There were prophetic utterances and sayings. You know, Jesus' birth fulfilled prophecy. It was spoken long ago. There was knowing Christ as King. Unto you is born to this day a Savior, King, Lord, Master, Ruler. There was worshiping the Lord. People traveled great distances just to worship Him. Amen. That's the spirit of Christmas, is to worship the Lord. There was exceeding joy, great joy, and gladness. Pick whichever one you want. You can be glad, you can have great joy, or you can have exceeding joy. It's your choice. There were the giving of gifts. The wise men gave gifts unto the Lord to honor him, to bless him. In the Christmas story, catching the Christmas spirit means there were dreams and visions. People were warned in dreams not to go to certain places, when to go, what to do. There was the Holy Spirit who was working mightily and is still working. There was the Son of God and the turning to God. There was faith and believing. There was salvation. Salvation has come. And then the two final components, which I'm going to talk about tonight, there was the birth of Jesus, and then there was the beginning of evangelism. Amen? You can put on the screen Matthew chapter 1. Starting with verse 18. And we're going to begin there. Matthew 1 and 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How many know something was conceived in Mary? Amen? God wants to conceive something in you too. And let's go over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Starting with verse 30. Luke 1:30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Did you know that you can find favor with God too? You know where you find favor? You go before His throne. Come boldly before the throne of grace or the throne of favor. And obtain mercy and find favor when you need it. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, verse 31, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now that word to conceive, it means to imagine. It means to picture. It means to create. It means to formulate, to start to experience. It means to become pregnant. Conception comes from a close relationship, a knowing, and an intimacy. If you want God to conceive some things in you, you've got to come close to God. Amen? Conception cannot occur at great distances. It's got to be close. You got to come close. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. There's got to be a knowing. You know, Mary knew God. She had a relationship with Him. And God began that relationship. And there's intimacy. Sharing. Do you know God loves you more than anybody else? And He knows everything about you, and He still loves you. Amen? Can you say amen? That's awesome. So conception comes from a close relationship, a knowing, and an intimacy. God wants to conceive in you a knowledge of who you are in Christ and what you have in Him. He wants to birth in you. He wants to rebirth in you, to regenerate in you, to become what He created you to be. God wants Christ to be formed in every heart. When the angel said, "You shall conceive," something happened on the inside of Mary. When you draw near to God, you're going to conceive. You're going to imagine. He's going to change your picture. He's going to give you a better picture than what it is currently. God can change pictures. When God's Word is alive in you, it'll begin to develop into something. And God's Word will create a visible picture within you. He can change your current picture into something better. Mary completely received God's picture wholeheartedly. What was the picture that God gave her? "You're going to have a son." She knew exactly what kind of baby she was going to have. She knew exactly what was being formed in her. She's going to have a son. She's going to have a baby. She fully expected. And God used unnatural means. He used supernatural means. All right, let's go to verse 35. You know, Mary inquired about how this was going to happen, because she knew that in order to conceive, she only knew of one way that you could conceive. Okay? But how many know that God has another way? Verse 35 says this, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Oh, we need the Holy Ghost to come upon us. I guarantee you, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, something is happening inside of you. There's an explosion. All of us are like volcanoes. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will erupt. Amen? I mean, think of the effort that the people in the Christmas story went to. I mean, just the distance that the wise men traveled, that was incredible. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, also, that holy thing, I'm telling you, when God does a work in you, it's holy. Because He doesn't create anything unholy. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. We need the Holy Ghost to come upon us. We need the power of the highest. The Christmas story is a story of power. Amen? I mean, there was power to deliver them from death. When they wanted to kill the baby, God delivered them. God protected him. See, it was the power of God that created Jesus in Mary. It was supernatural. And here's the good news. God wants to form Christ in us like he formed him in Mary. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to Colossians 1:27. Look at this scripture. This is awesome. I have it in the Amplified, but we'll read it up here. Colossians 1:27. Well, let me read it from the Amplified. It says, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of glory. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? That's you and I. What's the mystery? Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ in you, you don't have hope. But if you have Christ in you, you have hope of glory. I'm telling you, Christ wants to be in you. Just like he was in Mary. And it's by the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this. He said, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. John 14:20. And you know what? The way Jesus comes in is by invitation. He comes in. When you invite him in, he will come in. Galatians 2, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read it. Galatians 2, 19 through 21 says, for through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law. Then Christ died in vain. I'm telling you, we have a glorious opportunity to have Christ living through you, living in you, living in your heart. And he'll transform your life from the inside out. Ephesians 3, verses 15 through 21 says this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God. Did you know that you could know the love of God? But first, you got to let the love come in. You got to let the love be conceived in you. Maybe you were told that you were never loved. I'm telling you, God says he loves you. And what God says is greater than what anyone else said. And then finally, 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments, what, abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Did you know that when God's abiding in you, you'll know it? Amen? So this is what Christ came to do. He's the only Savior of the sinners. Christ wants to be in you. If he's not, you can invite him in. And then finally, there was a spirit of evangelism that took over in the Christmas story. Luke 2, 6 and 7, the time came for her delivery. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. There's going to be a time to deliver what God conceives in you. It's going to develop. It's going to grow. It's going to get to the point where you can't contain it anymore, and it'll have to come out. What God puts in your heart. And the angels told the shepherds that there was born this day in the town of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds, they went to see this thing. And after they went to see this thing, they in Luke 2:17 it says, they made widely known the information they had about the child. They made widely known. Listen, if Jesus is in your heart, tell someone else about it. Don't be afraid to tell what's happening on the inside of you. All right? And all who heard the shepherds marveled. After witnessing, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for what they heard and seen. Every time that you share your faith with someone else, it's going to result in glorifying and praising God. I guarantee you, there's no high like the Most High. And this is how Jesus built his ministry. In John 1:15, the Bible says, John testified about him and cried out. He what? He testified and he cried out. Does that sound like it was silent? No. And you realize people came to John. He didn't have a church, but he had a river. And in John 1:41, Andrew sought out and found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. How did Peter get saved? He got saved by his brother, Andrew. His brother Andrew told him that they found the Messiah. Isn't that interesting? Start with your family. Your family will train you for your ministry. So Andrew led Simon to Jesus. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the Messiah. John 4:28. The woman at the well, she left her water jar and went to the town and she began telling people. And half the town came out. You never know the results of your telling unless you tell. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the rooftop. Go tell it in the valley. Go tell it in the Walmart parking lot. Don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas. John 5:15, they went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well, the blind man. And then finally, Acts 1:8, this applies to all of us. You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what? The Holy Ghost likes coming upon people. And he comes by invitation too. You know, he's like a helicopter. He'll come on you. He'll hover. If you don't want him, he'll go to the next person. And if they don't want, they'll go to the next person. He'll go to whoever who wants him. All right? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power for what? You shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, in Palmyra, in Lebanon, in Pennsylvania, to the ends of the earth. There was a Anna who hung out at the temple. Acts 2:38 says, Anna spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She spoke of him to all who looked for redemption. What was Anna doing in the temple? She was telling people about Jesus. Now, if Anna, who's in her late 80s, almost 90s, can do it, come on now. Don't let Anna outdo you. Right? Just tell someone about what Jesus is doing for you. That's all you got to do. Our job is not to convince them. It's just to tell them. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Hey, did you hear what happened to me last week? This is what Jesus did. You'd be at the break room at the workplace. That's a good opportunity. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you. Amen? Because you have a story to tell. So the birth of Jesus, God wants to conceive something in you. And that which is conceived in you, you've got to share it with others. You're not going to be able to keep it to yourself. God is so good. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come together tonight and celebrate your birth. Lord, I pray that your Spirit conceives truth in us. It conceives who we are in Christ and what we've been given by you. Lord, change our pictures into something beautiful, wonderful, and awesome. And Lord, I pray for each and every person tonight that they would be touched by the spirit of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. So the choir is going to lead us in some song, and then there'll come a point in time when we'll light the candles. All right?
Yeah, we've got two more songs to sing together, and then we're going to light our candles. Pastor Doug will come up for the second song. He's going to leave me here for that. But let's we'll start by singing our we're missing somebody. That's all right. We'll sing O Holy Night. Do you like this one?
Together.
We're so grateful. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to be carriers of your word and do your will and please you in all things. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such a wonderful gift, your salvation. May you bless each and every one here tonight. Cause your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us. And give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We want you to have a great and wonderful Christmas. We love each and every one of you, and may you be super blessed.
Amen. So if we all put our candles out, it's going to get very dark in here. So we need to turn the lights back on.
Turn the cold lights, whatever.
But God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. And have an awesome Christmas celebration.
Yeah, enjoy spending time with your family, and God bless you.
Amen. Baskets by the door. If you'd like to leave your candle, you're welcome to, or you may take